Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punch Bowl News. It's Friday, April 5th, 2024. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, President Joe Biden heads to Baltimore, what he's asking Congress for when it comes to rebuilding the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Number two, the trio of challenges facing Congress when they get back next week. And number three, more from the vault. What else CFPB Director Rohit Chopra told us. All right, Jake, let's get into it. We've been previewing this visit of President Joe Biden to Baltimore following the disaster of the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsing. Tell us what the White House is signaling, because we've kind of been talking about this all week, that there was an expectation that the White House was going to talk to Congress or tell Congress what it expected when it came to emergency relief for trying to rebuild this bridge.
Yeah, Anna, it is. So Biden, as you noted, heads to Baltimore today, will appear with members of the delegation and the governor, Wes Moore. The Shalonda Young has a new letter out this morning saying that she expects, or she's urging Congress to authorize a, quote, 100% federal cost share for rebuilding the bridge. Now, this is something that the president had said just a couple of weeks ago when this happened, that he anticipated Congress expected that the federal government would help pay for, or would totally pay for, the reconstruction of this bridge. They're reiterating that now. Interestingly, though, the letter from OMB Director Young does not indicate how much that will cost. Now, they don't, they are still in the rescue phase here. And so they don't have a cost estimate quite yet. And that is going to be, you know, that's going to be, if you're trying to pass legislation, you obviously, it's preferable to have a cost estimate so you can know how much you're authorizing. Just days after that bridge in Minnesota collapsed in 2007, Congress authorized $250 million. And President Bush signed that bill to reconstruct that bridge. Now, there's no telling here how much this will cost and how much Congress needs to authorize and appropriate. So this will be something that Congress is going to look to do, that Congress is going to have to do in relatively short order. As we've noted a bunch of times, this is a very big issue. This is something that Congress is going to be focused on a lot among other elements of the agenda over the next couple of weeks. So get ready for a fight here, Anna, is effectively what I'm saying.
Yeah, pretty interesting in so much as the letter, you know, is urging Congress to act, but doesn't put a price tag on it. Obviously, spending right now is a key flashpoint between Republicans and Democrats, and finding the will of Congress to move forward on this is going to be something that it appears the White House didn't want to get boxed in with a specific figure at this point, but certainly going to be in the billions of dollars when it comes to rebuilding that bridge in full. That's one of the number two story of the morning. We lay out in the top of Punch Bowl News AM the three big issues here that our lawmakers are going to face right away when they come back from this two-week recess, and that's Israel, Ukraine, and the renewal of Section 702 of FISA, the federal statute that oversees how U.S. intelligence agencies conduct surveillance on foreign targets outside the country. I think what's interesting here, and we can kind of go piece by piece, but you know, clearly Israel originally, as kind of drafted months ago when the White House was putting together, trying to find a way forward on Ukraine, Israel was supposed to be the sweetener, was supposed to be the part of the legislation on this foreign supplemental that was going to be, you know, something that Democrats and Republicans both felt so compelled to support that they might go along with it, despite the kind of consternation among many Republicans about what spending more money in Ukraine. That entire dynamic has shifted, Jake.
Yeah, it has. So originally it was Ukraine, Taiwan, Israel. I have no idea here how Mike Johnson is going to structure a Ukraine vote. There does seem to be a real sense here that Johnson is going to do something on Ukraine. It's not clear to me what. It's not clear to me how that's going to happen, but the Israel dynamic has gotten really, really complicated with the killing of the World Central Kitchen aid employees in Gaza, the just general frustration about the flow of aid into the enclave, into the Gaza Strip. Now, Biden had what was described, we don't know, we weren't on the call, but what was described as a stern phone call with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in which he said, listen, our policy here is going to be dictated by how much aid you let in to Gaza. Immediately after that, they opened the Biden administration, the Netanyahu government opened several more crossings into for aid into Gaza, which is the it was a big give, I think, that the Biden administration was seeking. Now, Congress is out this week. They're going to come back Monday, as we noted. That is, I think, you're seeing around the edges here, people kind of getting more skeptical about Israel and how it's conducting the war. Chris Coons, a foreign policy, someone who kind of hangs his hat on foreign policy, said yesterday that there should be new conditions on Israeli military aid. That's a, you know, that's a big deal. For him to say that is unusual, and it does represent kind of the middle of where the Senate Democratic Caucus probably is. So, if you assume, Anna, that the House is gonna pass Ukraine and Israel together, I don't assume that. I think it's possible. I don't think it's certain, and it has to go back to the Senate. It's gonna be difficult to get things through, especially given the climate right now in Israel and the domestic political concerns in the U.S. that people have about giving more money to Israel.
And of course, Pfizer. Let's just talk about that quickly. House Republicans have now released their Pfizer reauthorization proposal. It's the Representative Laurel Lee, the Republican from Florida's bill from February that extends FISA for 5 years with some Section 702 reforms. The Judiciary Committee opposed this plan and it was eventually pulled from consideration. Really important to see where the conference is when it comes to this bill. Does the Judiciary Committee get on board or not? Next Wednesday, April 10th, there will be an all-House member briefing on FISA that's expected to be led by several members of the Biden administration. Let's move on to the number three story of the morning, The Vault. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau Director Rohit Chopra is the gift that keeps on giving. Our very own Brendan Peterson interviewed Chopra recently for the latest quarterly edition of The Vault, our financial services coverage. But he had a lot of things that were also of interest that just couldn't make it in based on the length. So let's talk about that really quickly. Chopra had a lot of hot takes, right, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that Chopra said, and this is what Brendan is calling the B-side, which is a throwback to when people were actually listening to music on physical media instead of computers.
I'm so glad you told me that. I didn't quite understand it, but I wasn't going to press.
Well, no comment. This is it's a reference to a tape B-side or an album B-side or whatever. Oh. The Vault B-side sounds like it could be a new product for us. But anyway, one interesting thing that got my attention is that Chopra is skeptical that there should be more consolidation in the banking sector. Now, that's something that that's a hot topic in the financial services world, whether there should whether banks should get bigger or remain small. We've had obviously a lot of issues or a decent number of issues with the regional banking system this year. And Chopra said banks aren't in the business of merging. They're in the business of banking. They should be competing on their business acumen of lending, collecting deposits, providing services. They're better at the better they are at that, they will be rewarded in terms of their organic growth. So interesting nugget from Brendan. And remember, the vault out every Sunday, the vault weekly edition, which is a really great addition to the Punch Bowl News offerings.
All right. With that, thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it. If you like the Daily Punch, we are up for a Webby Award. Please go to the show notes and you can click on the link to vote for the Daily Punch. We appreciate it. Make sure to confirm that vote. You'll get an email in your inbox. We're looking to hopefully secure that award in the next couple of weeks. Thank you so much for listening. Also, if you want to go deeper on all these issues and more, you can subscribe to our free morning newsletter at punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe, everybody.